Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Very pleased to have with us today the executive director of the Rock Hill Economic Development Corporation, better known as the RHEDC, Lisa Brown. And we're just going to try to give everybody a kind of an update as to where we are. And for all you newbies out there, we're going to try to tell you what the RHEDC is all about. But before we get into that, Lisa, tell everybody a little bit, if you would, about you.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. Always happy to be here. My name is Lisa Brown. I've been with the city of Rock Hill for over 12 years in different capacities, originally from Charlotte, and came and started working down here doing the city's budget. And since then, my role has evolved a few different times, but grateful to be in the position as the executive director of RHEDC, which is a dual role. I'm also the director of economic and urban development for the city.
Jeez. So did you grow up in Charlotte?
I did.
Did you really?
I went to Independence High School and, I grew up in East Charlotte.
How about that?
Yeah.
Where's that Carolina accent? It's not there.
You know, I have a complicated family situation, so we just try to be middle of the road vanilla.
Good for you.
Yeah.
All right. So for those who are new to our community, Lord knows we got thousands of them. They probably never heard of the RHEDC. And if you take a look at where we were in the early 1980s, we were a much different community. We were a one-industry town. It was textiles. Textiles went upside down, and everybody said, oh, my God, what are we going to do? Enter the RHEDC. Go ahead.
Sure. And you could probably add some flavor because you've lived more of this than I have. But, you know, thankfully we had Joe Lanford, who was the city manager at the time, and Betty Jo Ray that were trying to figure out how they could help create an economy here when there wasn't one in the 80s. And so in 1983, the RHEDC was created as a nonprofit organization that was able to leverage a lot of federal grants and free money to help spur economic development here. RHEDC is best known for building business parks. So as you drive around town, you see Waterford, Tech Park, Antrim. I mean, the list goes on and on. We have dozens of business parks, and that's due to the public-private partnership that the RHEDC has created over the course of time to help spur business.
Yeah, and it's very interesting that the RHEDC was also, because it was a nonprofit standalone corporation, do things that the city council could not do, and that was something that they needed to do to try to turn this thing around. And then you have to add into, I always like telling this story, when I first came to Rock Hill, which was in 1984, I was invited a couple weeks after I got here to come meet this person who was running for mayor of Rock Hill. So I went to the place we went to, and here's this lady with all these scarves and very southern accent, and it was Betty Jo Ray, and she became our mayor. She's a mayor for decades. And she and Lanford hooked up, and they created this thing called Empowering the Vision, which was all about how can we transform this community using these different themes, transportation, economy, whatever the others were, arts. And it took off and it's morphed. And what we have today is largely because of the citizens' involvement and their commitment to what was going on, and the council. I mean, the council has put, good Lord, God knows how many millions of dollars into all these projects.
Yeah.
And because they had the plan and they followed the plan, here we are today, very diversified, and it's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and I think that's really what sets Rock Hill apart as a community. As I said, I grew up in Charlotte, and I think when you work and look at other communities, you know, engagement isn't something that I think a lot of other communities really value and spend a lot of time and energy investing in, because it does take a lot, and it's a lot of hard, awkward conversations, but we ultimately want to build the community that we all want to live in, and we want our kids to, you know, fly and enjoy college and, you know, experiences or the military, and we want them to come back home. And I think that Rock Hill really has made engagement a pillar in what they've done, especially with you know, economic development, but surely on the sports tourism side, with our neighborhood. I mean, just the list goes on and on. Engagement is crucial. It's one of our core values.
Absolutely. And so the RHEDC has been involved, as you mentioned, with primarily industrial parks. We can rattle them off. You got the Airport Industrial Park. You got the Southway Industrial Park. You got, help me here now. I'm going to lose all these.
Antrim,
which was really the new model for the RHEDC, because that was a public-private project.
Yep.
The
RHEDC Legacy.
Right. RHEDC for Antrim was like a 20% partner in that. Waterford was pretty much the first one that the RHEDC did solo by itself, which was a big stretch.
Yeah.
But anyway, Tech Park, of course.
Yeah.
And look at all the different types of businesses that we've had. Now, some have come, some have gone, been replaced, what have you. But that's the world. That's the world's economy.
Yep.
But then the RHEDC got focused in on downtown. Oh, boy.
Hugely, yeah. The Knowledge Park Action Plan was really all everyone did in this department, and the community really rallied around in, you know, 2015 or so to figure out what it is that the community wanted to see in downtown and how we could all kind of work together through public-private partnerships largely to see growth and development downtown. And clearly the successes of that are all over the place.
And for those who were not here, that was one step forward, 10 steps back. It took a long time to do things. We came here, again, I said in 1984, and there was a roof over downtown.
Yeah.
First thing my wife said is, it was a beautiful day like today. Why do they have a roof over downtown? I said, don't know, but there's a reason. And that all had to do with competing with suburbia, and that was in vogue at that time. But city was smart and said, you know what? That's passe. It's got to come off.
Yeah.
And over that period of time, the RHEDC had managed to acquire all those downtown buildings, which made life a lot easier in terms of trying to do these big projects. So, again, the city stepped up, put millions of dollars. Did I say millions? Lots of millions.
Yeah, and we're grateful to our partnership that we have with the county as well as the school district on being able to leverage those funds for downtown.
Because
I really think that they're an unsung hero of a lot of the success downtown, because their dollars contributing towards those TIF districts have been hugely impactful.
Right, and we can spend 2 days talking about TIF districts, but they've worked out very, very well. And then, of course, the focus became across the street. Okay, how do we take care of this textile corridor? And that is another long story that we won't go through right now. But we had some pioneers like Gary Williams, who took on the cotton factory project.
Yep.
And then Lee Gardner and his boards at Family Trust said, okay, we're going to put our headquarters here.
Yep.
And then, you know, Skip Tuttle and Gary Williams got what is now University Center or City or whatever it's called.
Yep.
And we've got the city jumping in, building the Sports and Events Center. I mean, it's just one thing after another. Kaboom.
And the thread, I mean, that's, you know, the latest feather in our cap. And, you know, that's really, you know, the risk that these businesses take. Yeah, there's risk on the city side. But, you know, these people are really going out of their way to invest in a vision. And, you know, it takes the public and the private sectors working together for all of these projects to work and to support our downtown.
And, you know, it's interesting when you take a look and you talk to some of these people like Gary Williams and the people associated with the THREAD project, they're massive. They were massive projects.
Yeah.
And they had timelines to get them done.
Yep.
And the first thing that both of them did was to sit down with the city and said, okay, this is our timeline. We got to get this thing done. We need to make sure we don't get hiccups along the way. And I know in the case of the cotton factory, there were like weekly meetings with department heads.
Oh, yeah.
Kerry Smith, who was the city manager at the time.
Yep.
And any obstacles that popped up, they got them straightened out very quickly.
Yeah.
And the project got done within like 30 days of the timeline that they had set up. Same thing with the THREAD.
Absolutely. And, you know, the city is willing to work with any development partner because I think we recognize the risk and the liability and how much goes into these projects. And we have to work in partnership because we can't have a developer fighting against us. That does nothing for anyone but create frustration. And so the weekly meetings continue with projects. I mean, I could rattle them off. You know, the THREAD has reached a point. We were meeting with them every week. For the Lee Street development, we meet with them regularly just to make sure that these projects are moving along. long and that deadlines and timelines are being met because there's a lot of money at risk for them.
And, of course, the city's big role in all of this stuff is not only plan approval and making sure the project's done right, but all the infrastructure.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, in University Center, I've forgotten how many tens of millions of dollars, but it was significant.
Yeah.
Doing, you know, water and sewer lines, electric lines, making sure we had all the latest technology underground so we were a high-tech park.
Absolutely. You know, I think that that's one of the things, you know, when you build business parks, you go, okay, the roads have to be there, the water, the sewer has to be there. But, you know, RHEDC learned over the course of time, you know, you have to put conduit in the ground for the lines. Maybe they were telephone lines before, but now we need fiber and we need heightened technology needs. And so I think it's always trying to figure out how we can help balance what we have today and figure out, all right, how can we proactively plan for the future in a way to where we're not going to have to rip these things up to retrofit them.
All right, so here we are today. That's a fast, roughly 10-minute history of the RHEDC. I guess the only industrial park project that's being done right now is Aspen, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And that's, I don't know, it's 50% done, 60% done, something like that?
Yeah, from the public side. So, of course, we have development partners that have stepped up to build industrial parks closer to 77, but the active one that RHEDC is working on in a joint venture is with Childress Klein for Aspen. This is over by the airport, so where International Drive is, right there at Celanese. You can see the first of the two tenants that we've got out there, Southwood and Composite Resources. Cat Resources is the second building in there. Gorgeous. I don't know if anybody's driven by Celanese or Aspen, but we have a new sign out front that is gorgeous and really helps speak to the quality development that we feel like is really important in industrial parks.
But the model has changed. I mean, we hear, you know, COVID, I think, turned everything around, made everything a lot more expensive. And so doing the kinds of projects that have been done since the early 80s is a little, well, it's a lot different.
Yeah.
Land is well, they ain't building no more land, and so the price of land's gone way up. Price of money's gone way up. And so fair to say that the RHEDC has been kind of redeveloping it, trying to figure out where's our role, where's our niche?
Absolutely. Yeah, so the cost of land has gone crazy, the cost of infrastructure. I think everyone feels it when they go to the grocery store, they try to buy anything else. You know, inflation is challenging, but I think, you know, our market has changed. Rock Hill of the 1980s, when everybody was leaving, of course, there was very little here. And so things were much cheaper and there was much more of a willingness to try to figure out how to make things happen. Now we're a desirable market. And I think the industrial developers that have come into this area, they see that and they recognize it. And that's why you see, if you drive down Sell River Road, I mean, there's some massive industrial buildings that are being built by the Riverwalk area by private developers because they see the market and the potential that we have here.
So with all that being said, I don't want to short shrift the amateur sports because that's been a big part of this whole thing called quality of life, which is a big deal
for
employers who are looking at areas to locate in. I always remember the former mayor, Doug Echols, sitting right where you are, saying, I'm not quite sure how this all started, but I'm sure glad it did. But it did start with Cherry Park, and it's just mushroomed to all these other parks. And that's what's drawn all these events that we all enjoy and also created these parks that people can enjoy when we're not don't have the events. I mean, it's been tremendous.
Absolutely. And I think when you look at economics and what makes a thriving economy, it's diversification in that economy. And so the industrial product of having available sites for advanced manufacturing, for example, I mean, that's a very different part of our workforce than the tourism side of having restaurants and retail and things for people, fun things for people to do while they're visiting for an event. So I think trying to figure out how we make sure that we have good diversification in our economy is crucial because, as we learned from the 80s, when you put all your eggs in the textile basket and that basket disappears, you know, you're starting all over from scratch. And I think we're really trying to be cognizant of the projects that we work, especially on the industrial side, to make sure that we have good diversification and that we're bringing high-quality, high-paying jobs whenever we can, for sure. But the quality of life is also a big component in what those industries want to see here.
And, of course, as you referenced, you know, we want to see if we can get better-paying jobs because everything's more expensive,
yep.
Right? But you also want to make sure that you've got a balance in the types of industries you're bringing here. You know, we've heard it said time and time again, we got enough distribution.
Yep.
We need manufacturing here.
Yes.
Manufacturing pays more. It also pays more taxes because of all the equipment they have. And that's the key. That's where the focus is. All right, so here we are. Now, what direction do you see us going in now with this, you know, post-COVID routine that we're in?
Yeah, so great question. And I think, you know, RHEDC today is really, really heavily focused in trying to focus in a different area, a few different areas. One of the primary ones is workforce because, you know, having skilled labor that is ready for the jobs is so critically important to not just selling a community, but to maintaining thriving businesses. And if you talk to small businesses or large industrial, I mean, that's one of the biggest challenges they have are having quality people that are ready to do the jobs that they need them to do. And so our workforce development committee, so we've got four committees of RHEDC. This is just one of them. They are heavily focused in a number of committees, but so much of the work they're doing is trying to pull together our educational partners, our large industries, to make sure that we are staying at the forefront of whatever is coming. So we have certificate programs and that, you know, they did a skills gap analysis in the last year to figure out where the biggest areas of where we're having workforce challenges. And they realize that most students and parents, especially at the high school or middle school level, they have no clue what the jobs are that are here, what skills they need, where to go to get information. And so much of this is kind of making sure that there's active conversations. So when we have 18-year-olds that are graduating from college and they don't know what they want to do, we have an easy avenue to get them in a technical school to help them with military or getting a job locally, trying to figure out how to get our workforce plugged in, because if they don't stay here and fill these jobs, they're going to go somewhere else.
That's right. And to make them aware of how the compensation for these jobs is so much better. I mean, my God, you can learn how to drive an 18-wheeler over here, and you can make $100,000 a year.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You could be a skilled carpenter or a skilled bricklayer, and you can make those kinds of money as well.
A welder. Oh, my gosh.
My God.
Yeah.
Whoa, off the chart.
Yeah.
So, you know, industry is much different today than it was 50 years ago. They're not the sweatshops. They're not, you know, you got to be smart. You got to have computers. You need to have computer skills, et cetera, et cetera. All right, before you shift into gear number two, we're going to have to mid-program break. Remind everybody that we are broadcasting live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good pharmacy, get it out, Manny, is with us today, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. So we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. What we do is fresh subs and salads, and we do it 6 days a week, come rain or shine. We don't care if it's hot or cold, this is where you want to be. How we do it is in the white letters, and we're all going to chime out together. That includes you too, Buster. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Hey, Alex, have you heard that Substation 2 now has gift cards?
Yeah, I just heard about that, and I'm on my way to get one now. They're perfect for holidays, birthdays, and graduations, and they're reloadable, reusable, and available in any amount you want.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
When it comes to matters of the heart, you want someone who understands you. And that's our mission at Piedmont's Heart and Vascular Center. We are the only cardiovascular hospital in York County providing comprehensive care from diagnosis to recovery. Our team includes experienced cardiologists, cardiovascular surgeons, and nurses, all dedicated to keeping your heart healthy. Cardiac care with advanced technology close to home. That's Piedmont Medical Center. Learn more online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
When you're getting a bundle from Comporia, you're getting an all-seeing, all-knowing personal security detail. You're getting shows and shows and, oh yeah, more shows. You're getting a social calendar filled with family game time, game day get-togethers, and don't worry, we saved you a spot on the couch parties, because we're not just your internet company. We're your yes to all of the above company.
Shop for the holidays smarter this year with Founders Federal Credit Union. Now through December 31st, take advantage of 7.9% APR on select purchases made with your Founders credit card. Spread more holiday cheer this year without breaking your budget. Visit foundersfcu.com/cc for more information. Terms and conditions apply. To obtain additional cost information, please contact us at 1-800-845-1614. On July 1st, 2025, the promotional APR will revert to the effective APR as previously disclosed. Visit foundersfcu.com/cc for a list of qualifying purchases.
If you need catering, Substation 2 has a number of options. Right, Charlie?
At Substation 2, we have giant party subs, we have sliced deli meat trays, we have sandwich trays. We basically have everything you need for the party except the people, and we can supply them too.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Lisa Brown is with us today. She works for the City of Rock Hill, and one of her capacities is the Executive Director of the Rock Hill Economic Development Corporation. Okay, so we've given everybody a short history of the RHEDC. We're now into the what I call the new model of the RHEDC. And rightfully so, a lot of your attention is on workforce development. In fact, next week I'm going to be having one of your subcommittees on here that deals with veterans.
Awesome.
And, boy, you talk about a good labor force. There you are, veterans. So now what else? I mean, workforce development. What's number two on your list?
Number two is not in any kind of order. So we have four committees. Okay. I'm not giving preference. The next committee is the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Committee, and this committee is really about advocating for opportunities to improve the success of small businesses. So thinking about things, what are the things we can do to reduce operational barriers? How can we help leverage partnerships and really improving the ecosystem for small businesses? You know, if you're really, really good at making cupcakes and you want to start a cupcake business, you can make the best cupcakes in the world. But if you don't know anything about finances, or if you don't know anything about marketing or insurance or all the logistics of running a small business, it may be really, really difficult for you to sell cupcakes because of all these ancillary things that go into running a small business. So a lot of this committee is really trying to focus on how we pull the partners that work in supporting small businesses together. One of the new focuses is really on marketing, because as nice as it is to have the Sports and Events Center and have sports tourism driving folks for events, those people are here and then they leave. But there's a whole market of, you know, over 100,000 people that live in the greater Rock Hill area that could be supporting these small businesses every day. And so what can we do to help better market to where everybody's Christmas shopping right now? I really hope and pray that everybody's not just ordering from Amazon, that they're actually walking into some of these local shops that are downtown or Riverwalk, Cherry Road, Dave Lyle, Saluda Street. Like, there are plenty of places you can spend your money locally that does so much more for our economy than using the easy Amazon.
You know, one of the things that I've talked with some people, including the mayor, that I think is also along these same lines, is we have all these new people who are locating in Rock Hill, particularly in these apartments that are going up left and right. And how do we engage those people in what you're talking about? How do we get them to understand why they want to come to Christmasville or come see me, or why they should take a look up and down, you know, Main Street or down at the textile car or whatever? How do we do that? I think that's a challenge, because their lifestyle is pretty much getting on a car, running up to that suburb to the north, working, and then coming back home.
Yeah.
And they don't know. They simply don't know.
Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of the committee's looking at. So, you know, I think this upcoming year, in 2025, you'll see a lot more of shop local campaigns, Small Business Week celebrations. We're wanting to do a lot more events that are just more open and trying to help pull people together. Because, you know, if there's one thing that Rock Hill does really well, as I mentioned earlier, it's engagement, but it's about creating a sense of community.
Yeah.
You know, the Knowledge Park Action Plan worked really well because there was excitement, there were things to do, there were a lot of people, and there was a lot of energy. And I think part of our intention with an upcoming project, which I can talk a little bit about, is how do we help create more of this sense of community and some excitement around a project.
Bingo. Well, you got the floor. Go right ahead.
All right. So, and I was grateful that at the REHEDC meeting a few weeks ago in December, we had a wonderful presentation from our former city manager, Joe Lanford, that I mentioned, about a project and a concept called the Storyline. The Storyline is going to be a linear park that's going to connect from Winthrop University all the way through Fountain Park, and then there will be offshoots all along that. But it's really about how do we get people to come spend time downtown, walk, go to the local businesses, and this is going to be kind of centered around our pedestrian bridge.
Say that again. Pedestrian bridge.
Pedestrian bridge.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Well, we're grateful for our $10 million grant, so that slowed us up a little bit. But, you know, this Storyline is not just a linear park that's going to connect where people can walk. This is really about telling the story of our community, the past, and recognizing that Rock Hill is what it is because of our shared history. And so much of the Storyline process that you'll see, we've created a website, storylinerockhill.com, that has a video that kind of highlights where the path will be, the initial vision for the Storyline. And then there's a whole form that you can fill out. It will take 30 seconds for you to put your name, email address. We're going to start sending out information about the community engagement process that will follow and how people can help share their stories of how they contribute to Rock Hill.
So what's that website again?
StorylineRockHill.com.
Okay. All right, I just look at the clock. We're running out of time. What else is on our Newton?
Oh, I've got two more committees.
All right, well, you've got about 2 minutes.
All right, quality of life. So the quality of life component that we talked a lot about earlier with our industrial folks, this is really the work of the placemaking committee, which is about creating a sense of place through public art, landscaping, and unique attributes. We're really excited about a lot of work going on in the south side of Rock Hill.
And, oh, yeah.
Part of that, you know, the Storyline is really more downtown focused, but one of the branches of the Storyline is going to be a Crawford Road music trail that highlights the contributions that residents from the south side of Rock Hill have given to music. And so we're excited that Mr. Bobby Player is helping us pull folks together and really commemorate the history of the musicians of Crawford Road. And then there's a number of other partnerships that we have with, like, the Women's Art Initiative to get more public art, looking at the south side as well as downtown. And then our final committee is newly renamed, but it's really the core function of the REHEDC. So formerly Business Recruitment and Expansion is now Investment and Development Committee. And this is really the bread and butter of what REHEDC has done. And a lot of that work is going to be tied up in brownfield sites, so dirty old sites that need to be cleaned up to help limit future liability on a site. So what are the key parcels or key areas that we need to help clean up like we've done in the past? The Exchange site, which was the Good Kia site, University Center was an entire brownfield project. The Lee Street, we've done this over and over again. So if there are any property owners out there that have properties that they know have contamination, we are happy to work with them to figure out ways that we can try to clean those properties up and get them redeveloped.
And that's the whole idea. Redevelop them, but you got to clean them up first, and that's one of the things that the city, the REHEDC can do, because you have access to grant money that helps with that expense, correct?
That's it.
Well, Lisa, you have done a wonderful job, and you did it with about 30 seconds to spare.
Wow.
Nicely done. So this is, again, I want to send people back to that website, storylinerockhill.com.
Yes, sir.
All right. That's the one you want to go to get more on this Storyline, the linear park, which I think is going to be interesting, but I mean, there's just a lot of going on here. Now, I should tell you that we also, you know, we do a weekly series with the REHEDC.
Yep.
And it's on every Wednesday, and you just tune in because we try to keep on top of all this stuff, and there's a lot going on. Lisa, Merry Christmas to you.
Same
Happy New Year, all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
I'm sure we'll get you back on here in 2025. You
look
do such a good job.
It. So appreciate your time.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program today, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. All right, one more time now. Fresh subs and salads. We do it. Here he's in on time. State Representative Randy Liggett is going to lead us in this, as well as the producer of Straight Talk herself, SKK. At the count of three. How do we do it here? One, two, three. Slice, slice.
Slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.